You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
And then I run into Peter Jason, and Peter Jason is kind of this guy I did a Western with. He kind of talks like this, and like ties to you. He goes, "Jesus Christ, Monk, you've got this room's full of people that look just like me. How the fuck's guy trying to? I mean, how are we going to get over with this thing?" And I said, "I don't know. Are you ready?" He says, "I'm always ready. Come on, what the hell?" And so they go, "Oh, Chris Malky," and I go, "Cool. Well, great. All right. Good luck, Peter. Okay. Good luck, Malky." So I walk in, I sit down, and Bruce Cohen Curtis is behind his desk. This camel colored thing and his lovely shirt, and he's very dressed and he's very. And he goes, "I'm sorry, Chris, but it's just not going to work." I said, "What?" He said, "There's no reason for us to go on in this audition. I mean, I said, we haven't started." He said, No, you're just not right. But thank you for coming in." And I kind of blew my top. And I said, "Look, MF, I drove across town. I learned all this stuff. I mean, and I came hot, right? And I'm just like, bam, 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 bam." And, you know, Joe Rubin, who's the director and the casting director from Twin Peaks is there. And she's like, Monkey. And I'm going, "I just got to tell you." And he said, finally, he goes, "Are you done?" And I went, "Yeah." And he just tore me a new rear end. "Well, you in great drink, actor, blah, 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 blah." And then he was done. And I went, "Okay. All right. Nice to meet you guys, and take care, I'm out." And so I leave. So 2 days later, I get a call. "Bruce Cohen Curtis wants to see you." "You mean
what?
On Dreamscape?" "Yeah." "Okay, call back." I went, "Call back?" I told him to go fuck himself.
Hello, world, and welcome to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in the industry, and I make them share a few bad audition stories with me. If you're not following the show on social media, head to the show notes. There's some links down there. You can also check out our Patreon to see all these interviews live and in person. Well, not in person, but on your computer screen with real faces talking at you. Today is a very special episode. Today we have my friend Chris Mulkey. He has been an acting teacher of mine. He has been an inspiration, and he is overall just the absolute best. He's been in quite literally everything from Twin Peaks to Boardwalk Empire to Whiplash, The Purge, Cloverfield, Captain Phillips, Any Day Now, Saving Grace, Grimm. I mean, my lord, the list goes on and on. It will never stop. He is in everything. We love him. We love to know him. I'm very excited to welcome the one and only Chris Mulkey. And welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, Jillian.
It's so good to see you. For all of my listeners, Chris has actually been an acting teacher of mine in the past, which is really cool.
Full disclosure. Yeah, I teach a master class at the Ruskin Theater. You are fabulous, by the way.
So thank you. We had a great
time. Yeah. So it's nice to be here.
It's so great to have you here. I'm very excited to talk about all the amazing things that you've done in your career. But before we get to all of that, because your resume is so massive, we're not even going to be able to talk about everything. I always love to ask, what made you want to become an actor?
Well, wow. I was at the University of Minnesota. And I was looking for an elective. I thought I was going to be a history teacher and a high school wrestling coach, because I wrestled a little bit in college and in high school a lot. That was good. So my friend George said, why don't you take an acting class? He was a baseball player at the time, played for the University of Minnesota. I said, no, actors are crazy. And he said, no, you really like movies. You really like Marlon Brando and all these guys and Lee Marvin and all the iconic guys that I grew up with when I was a kid. And so I took the class and I was, I succeeded. And I went into another class and they were writing a play and I helped them write the play, improv scenes, and we were funny. And suddenly we're in New York at Cafe La Mama. And Andy Warhol's people are coming to see our play. And I went, well, this is pretty cool. Maybe I'll just be an actor. So I changed my major and there it was. They just did it.
You just did it. So what was your like first steps after college? Did you stay in New York? How did you navigate that?
Well, Jillian, I was a senior in college and I was offered a job as a company member at the Minneapolis Children's Theater at the Minneapolis Art Institute. And so I thought, well, I could either stay in college and graduate, or I could just quit wait right now and be a member of the theater company and do the work. So I figured, well, let's go do work. And so yeah. I did. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Tennessee Williams has a play called This Property is Condemned. And it's a story about this little girl walking down the railroad tracks and her teacher comes across her and he says, I haven't seen Jillian. I haven't seen you in class. And she said, well, you know, I'm finished. He said, finished? It's you're only in the eighth grade. And she goes, no, I quituated. And so I quituated.
You quituated. That's such a great little word there.
Yeah, it's good. It's cute. Yeah.
So you do this play stuff in Minneapolis, and then when did you start making your way into the film and TV world?
Well, we did the director of the theater, John Donahue, wrote this play called A Suitcase, and it was about a guy, a traveler, who goes to this spa in Morocco, and it's... And so we built a spa on stage. It was an amazing theater, and still is. So they built the spa on stage, and we did the play. And it's a drama about somebody goes someplace and presumes that he knows everything and he knows nothing and pays the price for it. And I went, this would be a great movie. So we got money from the National Endowment for the Arts to do the movie, and I produced the movie, and it was really good. And... got great reviews. And so I took it to the American Film Institute out here in California. And I tried to get in as a fellow. And they said, I just didn't have enough connections. And they said, no, no, no. But while I was there, I worked on everybody's thesis, right? Mm. And one day, a cowboy actor by the name of Clint Eastwood came and talked to people about, you know, what's it like in the real world in showbiz. And so he went, and only 10 people showed up. I was the 10th. And I wasn't even part of the AFI. I was just hanging out, working on people's films. And so he went around the room and said, Chris Mulkey, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to go get over as an actor. And I actually said, I want to get over as an actor. And he goes, well, you know, here's what you do. Go back to Minneapolis when you're done here. Write a script. You play the lead. You produce it. Don't direct it. And so instead of going, yeah, right, Mr. Hollywood, I'll just go back and do my own feature film. I went back and got my friend and we wrote a film called Loose Ends. And we won the USA Film Festival, which was the Sundance of the day. It was in 1975 or 76. And then it won We were in Edinburgh and Berlin and Deauville and Venice and played around the world. And so I took those two films that I produced at the Minneapolis Children's Theater, and I came out here and go, I went here. Loose Ends, it won this thing. You want to be my agent? And they went, yep, and started working. Yeah.
That's amazing. There is nothing I love more than an actor taking control of their career and saying, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to produce something. I'm going to be out there so people can see my talent and see what I want to do.
Yeah, do your thing, man. I mean, it's so great that you're doing this. And it's so great that I'm on here.
Yes, I agree. That's amazing. When was, like, do you remember, like, the first, like, major role that you got either on like a TV series or a film where you're like, dang, like I've really hit my stride. I'm getting there. I'm getting to where I want to be.
Oh, really? Like last week? No. I mean, it was really cool when I got my first job. I on network TV on ABC, I did actually two episodes with Robert Blake on his series Beretta. And I didn't think I hit my stride. I just thought, well, now I'm in the game a little bit, you know?
Right.
But I guess, I don't know. I'm always looking over my shoulder. So I don't know. I mean, I've done 115 movies. I don't know. I've got three movies that are lined up to be right now. Hit my stride. Maybe when I was doing Rambo First Blood. But at that time, I just got married. My wife was pregnant. I was having a baby. She was on the set with me in Vancouver. So I was just, I really wasn't even congratulating anybody. I was just trying to get the baby born and get the movie made. So it was great. So maybe Rambo, maybe, you know.
Rambo. And you were on Any Day Now with Annie Potts for, gosh, a long time. How was it to be such a large, you know, role on a show that really did kind of change network television?
Yeah. Any Day Now was about race relations in the South, you know, and Lorraine Toussaint was on there. And it was just, so we played these, a third of the show was shot in black and white, and they had a little Chris Mulkey, a little Lorraine Toussaint, and little Annie Potts, right? And it was all shot black and white in the 60s during the civil rights marches and movements. And then the other three quarters was shot present day when the African-American woman who was our friend as kids comes back and takes over her dad's law firm and we all rejoin and have the same friendship and bond. It was great. And the writing was great. Nancy Miller was genius. I went on to do two more series with her. Mark Israel was the showrunner, and it, you know, I talk about when a soul gig meets a money gig, you know, and that was definitely a soul gig because of its content, and it paid well.
And it paid well, which is good. That's amazing. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about being in Twin Peaks, because this show has had a resurgence in the past decade of people being super obsessed with it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I just did a, not just, but 2 years ago, I was in Belgrade, Serbia. This is kind of backdoor to your question, but I was in Belgrade, Serbia, doing a series called Mud on Your Tires about this Serbian woman who meets a Louisiana guitar playing guy, and they fall in love. And we shot it all in Belgrade, Serbia. It was fantastic. But they had just re-released the original Twin Peaks over there. So you're Hank from Twin Peaks. Very nice, very nice. Very scary. You're a very bad guy. So I had seen Eraserhead, David Lynch's, I think, first feature, and I didn't understand it. I just didn't. Maybe I'd smoked too much boo before I went in there, but I didn't understand. Like, what? And so, they wanted me to go to audition for the TV series, but I said, I don't want to do it because I don't understand his work. But his co-creator, Mark Frost, was a classmate of mine at the University of Minnesota. So I said, I'll go. Yeah. So they gave me, and you know this as an actor, they don't know what they want, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So they give me two parts to do, right? They said you can play Jacques, the Cajun guy, or you can play Hank Jennings, the ex-con who's getting out of jail and is going to run the diner. Now, Hank Jennings is basically this guy, Steve, that I know that did 13 years in San Quentin for armed robbery.
Honestly, take
my word for it. Hank Jennings, it was Steve. Steve was this kind of cute guy, really super dangerous, and a great liar. I mean, unbelievable. Wow. Okay, and Jacques, you know, Jacques was Jacques. So I go to the audition, and Carl Okowitz is sitting in the room. It's just me and him. And I said, Carl, what are you auditioning for? He said, well, Hank or Jacques. And I said, well, you're Jacques. You know, he's this big guy. And I said, I'm Hank. And he says, you're only going to read for one? I said, yeah. So I go inside, and they go, okay, which one do you want to do first? I said, I'm only going to do Hank because Jacques is sitting outside. And so I read
Dang.
It. And they went, bang, there it is.
Yeah. Wow. You just cast it for them. You're like, you don't even have to do it. Here you go. I'm going to tell you.
I humbly suggested. What I said to you is what I said in the audition. So, yeah, it was great.
That's amazing. I mean, it's really crazy to see a show have such an impact over such a long time, especially a show that was only, you know, what was it, 10 episodes?
It was seven. The opening season was seven, and then the next one was 22.
22.
Yeah. I mean, so a grand total of 29.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's well, now amazing. That would be, now in today's world, that would be three seasons of something because everything is 10 episodes.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
And back to the show. Let's talk about some of the more like recent films that you've been in that have been big hits. You were in Whiplash and The Purge and Captain Phillips. How have you as an actor noticed like a change within the industry as far as parts and roles that you've been able to really connect with?
I haven't noticed much of a change in the industry, but you made me think of an early question. When did you feel like you hit your stride? And I would say when I've done four films that either won or were nominated for Academy Awards, right? And one was a documentary that I did with Woody Harrelson called Nanking, about the Japanese invasion of Nanking, China in 1936 and their atrocities on the population. And we played these people. We had dramatic. So that was one. And then the next year I did North Country with Charlize Theron and Jeremy Renner. And
yes.
And she got an Academy Award nomination for Best Actress. Then a couple of years later, Whiplash, we got four nominations for Academy Awards and won three. And then Captain Phillips, we got four nominations and won one. So I think in that period of time, I felt like I was hitting my stride. It's interesting. Yeah, I'm now for the past couple of years, I've just been cranking out these Westerns and I've got the mustache going. And I think it's the mustache.
It might be the mustache, but there's like a major resurgence of Westerns lately. I mean, you have Yellowstone and all of the spinoffs that have come from that, and people are really vibing with that right now.
Yeah, I did a great Western with Robert Duvall called Broken Trail that we got Golden Globe nominations and won Emmys and stuff. And that was really with Walter Hill, who I've done four movies with, three movies. But changes in, it's always a fist fight. I'll tell you what, we lay down all these auditions nowadays, in your house. And I think in the last 3 or 4 years, I've worked constantly. I've worked a lot. Thank you, Jesus. And all the jobs except one were just straight offers.
Wow.
There's a series on Amazon right now called The Power, about female empowerment from the book,
yes,
The Power. And I'm in that series, and that was the last one where I laid it down in my house and set it in. And
that's awesome to be at that level. I mean, and honestly, like at this point, your body of work is so immense. It's crazy not to just be like, here you go, because you could watch you in so many things to see your talent, you know?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm out there a lot. There's a movie that's playing right now that I did with Amelia Clark and Jack Huston called Above Suspicion. Philip Noyes, who directed Patriot Games with Mel Gibson, directed Above Suspicion, and it's a great movie. And it came out at the time just when the pandemic hit, so it was just about ready to go into the theaters, and then the theaters all closed. But it's a great movie, so, so Above Suspicion it's a story about this woman who co-opts the FBI guys. She's this kind of Kentucky hillbilly girl who, this guy thinks he can just like use her as his play toy, and she plays him completely.
Yeah, and he was wrong.
True story. Yeah. So that's how things have changed for me. Auditioning on tape, not so much, and just call me up and then I rock it. So it's good.
That's great. Going back to auditions, when you still had to put them on tape, did you have a specific process of breaking something down before you went into the room or laid it down?
Before I go into audition, I'm trying to figure out what this guy wants in the scene and in the show. What does he want? And then I gotta learn the lines. I never read anything. I always know the stuff, and it does two things. I'm not reading it. Oh, Bob, really? Well, I saw them down on 27th Avenue. They were in the convenience store, and I think one of them was buying vegetables. So I'd just be in the room more. So I'd always learn it. That was my process, and I always like being in the room. The room's better for me because I come from the theater, so it's like, I'm better in the room. I'm groovy to hang out with. Come on, you know that. So it's like, And then the thing, is the angle wrong? Is there a door back there? Oh no, is my snaps in my shirt? Oh God, I could do it again.
It's true. And the noise is outside and everything distracting you all the time. It's just,
I
can't wait to get back into a room.
And I'm paranoid. I'm wondering who Jillian actually first sees those tapes and goes, well, maybe we'll give this to the casting director and maybe not. And if the person doesn't know, say, my work from the get-go, then, you know, so the troll at the bridge, you know, is it like, you know, someone who is smart or not? I mean, or, you know, in my case, they should be smarter, obviously.
Yes.
But I'm booked until August. So,
hey, look at you. Well, speaking of auditions, we love to share audition stories on this show. Do you have a fun audition story that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I have maybe the quintessential, besides my Twin Peaks story, audition story was great. What's the name of the film? Dreamscape. Max von Sydow, the actor from Sweden who did all the Bergman films, was in it with Christopher Plummer and Dennis Quaid. I think it was the fourth film I did with Dennis Quaid. So I go to the reading and I drive across town and I got my suit on because I'm going to play this FBI guy. And I go, Bruce Cohen Curtis. So God bless him. And so I go up to Sunset and Doheny to his office. And I go in there, I open the door, and there's a room full of guys. I mean, like a room full of guys, 20 guys that all look like me and they're all my age, right? Mm. And then I run into Peter Jason. And Peter Jason is kind of this guy, I did a Western with him, kind of talks like this, and all he ties to you. He goes, Jesus Christ, Malky, this room's full of people that look just like me. How the fuck's guy trying to, I mean, how are we going to get over with this thing? And I said, I don't know, are you ready? He says, I'm always ready. Come on, what the hell? And so they go, oh, Chris Malky. And I go, cool. Well, great. All right. Good luck, Peter. Okay. Good luck, Malky. So I walk in, I sit down, and Bruce Cohen Curtis is behind his desk, his camel colored thing, and his lovely shirt, and he's very dressed, and he's very. And he goes, I'm sorry, Chris, but it's just not going to work. I said, what? He said, there's no reason for us to go on in this audition. I mean, I said, we haven't started. He said, no, you're just not right. But thank you for coming in. And I kind of blew my top. And I said, look, MF, I drove across town. I learned all this stuff. I mean, and I came hot, right? And I'm just like, bam, 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 bam. And, you know, Joe Rubin, who's the director and the casting director from Twin Peaks is there. And she's like, monkey. And I'm going, I just got to tell you. And he said, finally, he goes, are you done? And I went, yeah. And he just tore me a new rear end. Well, you in great drink, actor, blah, 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 blah. And then he was done. And I went, okay. All right. Nice to meet you guys. And take care. I'm out. And so I leave. So 2 days later, I get a call. Bruce Cohen Curtis wants to see you. You mean
what?
On Dreamscape? Yeah. Okay. Call back. I went, call back. I told him to go fuck himself. Right? So anyhow, whoops, I said fuck. Anyhow,
you're good.
So I go in there and I walk in and there's the same 20 guys. I kid you not. And here's Peter Jason. And I'm going, what the hell? And he goes, Jesus Christ, monkey, what's going on? I went, what? And he says, yeah, we're back here for this bullshit and all these guys are here. And what's going on? I said, I have no idea. I told him to go screw himself when I was here. You did? Well, you deserved that. And suddenly the doors open up and Joe Rubin, Erica, and Bruce Cohen Curtis appear like Prince Charles in the doorway. And he goes, thank you all for coming today. I know you spent a lot of time on this, so you can all go home. But I would like to see Peter Jason and Chris Mulkey in the office now. And we went, okay. So we walk in, we sit down, we went, you guys are hired.
What? You didn't even audition.
It was a great time. Yeah, we were Finch and Babcock in the thing. We were hilarious. We were like, because I'm like me, you know, and Peter just says, Jesus Christ. So, weirdest thing in the world.
That is wild. That is such a strange story. I mean, he didn't even let you read any of the lines, and then you booked it.
I think he liked the way I told him to go fuck himself.
He's like, but I will never do that again.
It's not my character to do that, you know, but he just hit me that, you know, he flipped the switch the wrong way, and I don't know. And so it's a great story. And Bruce is a really nice guy, and we had a really successful movie, and it's a cool movie. It's a cool movie.
That's a fantastic story. Gotta be top 10. That's good.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, that's
well,
the one.
Well, before we go, you know, I love to give this opportunity to talk about all the other things that you have going on in your life. I know that you have a CD coming out. Let's talk a little bit about that. An album?
Well, I did a movie that's going to be on the INSP channel, the Cowboy Channel. I've done like maybe a dozen Westerns, and we were shooting Farhaven down in Tucson, and the writer of the movie, who also played my partner, I played the sheriff, we first got together the first day around the pool. Hi, I'm William Shockley. I'm Chris Mulkey. He said, you got a guitar? I said, yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter. He says, well, I'm a great lyricist. Maybe we could write something together. And I went, well, maybe we could. And I was thinking about doing 10 songs, and he's going, we're just kicking it around. We're doing a movie. How is that going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first night, we're having dinner in this bar, and this guy comes up to me and says, hey, you're still working. I said, yeah, Chris Mulkey. He says, I'm whatever. He says, well, I guess you're only young once. And I said, well, I've been young twice because I'm still working. And then I turned to William and I said, write that down. And that began a thing, and we wrote 10 songs and recorded them in Tucson, and it's called Tucson Tapes with William Shockley and Chris Mulkey. And they're border songs, and they're just, it's just great. I'll send you, if you email me or text me your thing, I can send you some tracks, but they're really great. Mandolin, groovy stuff, great poetry. Oh my God. And he's such a good, and we both sing him, you know, there's 10 tunes, and yeah. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Is this the first time that you've released music to the public?
No, I'm a published songwriter. I think this is my 10th CD, and I've sold about 40 songs to TV and movies.
What?
Yeah. I Amazon one of my songs for the TV series I referred to earlier. On my, The Power. Yeah, they bought one of my songs, and so I'm really thankful. I started out as a harmonica player, but then I'm a guitar player, mandolin player, and played the bass.
Wow.
It's just I'm digging. So yeah, this is not the first time. You can just pick up your phone and go play Chris Mulkey, and they'll play a bunch of songs. Yeah, cool.
Well, that brings me to one last question, which is like, how do you balance then all of your acting and your songwriting, and then also having a family and your home life and your social life? It seems like so much.
How do I balance my life? I don't know. It's kind of like I'm just kind of grooving and digging it. And I try not to put too much strain on either one. And I don't book any gigs that will get canceled by a movie or TV. I'm really careful about that. You know, I was the house band at House of Blues for a year and a half and played there in Hollywood before they moved it. And that was amazing that I was even there for a year and a half and I was able to do it every week. I kept working in town for that year and a half. But it's just the light touch, you know. Don't suddenly, if you get crazy about stuff, you know, crazy doesn't help. So just groove and dig the eternal now, as Rick Rubin would say.
Yeah. I love that. Dig
the eternal now. Yeah. I mean,
that's
sounds
dope.
But, you know, right now.
I love it. do you have social media so that people can follow you on the interwebs?
Yes, I have I have an Instagram account called Mr. Chris Mulkey, MR Chris Mulkey. No, that's all lowercase, Mr. Perfect. Chris Mulkey. And then I'm on Facebook, of course. And then you can go to my music site, chrismulkeymusic.com. And I have a thing called I'm Working Here on Instagram, which is kind of funny. And it's usually from locations where I'm at. I just played the Bill Murray, Murray Brothers Caddyshack event down in St. Augustine. So there's a couple of I'm Working Here's from Instagram for that. I played a house party too. And yeah. So I go to Tucson next week. Yeah.
Hey.
And start,
love it.
And start another movie called Last Dollar with Michelle, Jacqueline Bisset.
Oh, wow.
Jacqueline Bisset, me, and Granger Hines, and some cool people. And so it's a Western about this rancher and stuff. And I play, that's what this is. And I'm the judge who runs the town and ultimately saves the kid's life.
Heck yeah, you do.
Heck yeah, I do.
It was so fun talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on. I had such a great time, and you're so fantastic. So it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you. You're fantastic too. It was great. Anytime, you know, I just keep swinging, and we'll see what happens. Come on now.
Thanks again to Chris for coming on the show. It was just such a pleasure talking to him. Check out all the things that he's in, man. He's in 1,000 of them. So check him out. Check out his music. And, you know, tune in next week for another fun episode. As always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.